I want to talk about an awakening on the Emmaus Road. Huge. It's huge. Before I start, though, I need my wife to come and share the vision she had regarding four people coming through that wall. You want to share that for me?
Well, I had it years ago.
No.
When?
In the beginning of the year.
No, I had it a few years ago. No. I did.
No. I picked that.
No, I did. I had it maybe, thank you. I had it probably about 3 years ago. I think before the COVID.
Okay.
And anyway, I had a dream and I saw four rows of people from the gate, you know, going down the street. Now this side, okay? And they were going through the door here. Like, you know, I mean, why not that door? You know, that door. And anyway, they came around the stage here, right? And they were just worshipping God. And I said, I wonder who's preaching? You know, like, is it Dave, is it Cameron, Kenny, Tamsin? Anyway, you know, like, and he goes, no. He goes, it's me. I get all the glory. You know, and anyway, I saw people in wheelchairs. I saw people, all different type people. I know it's salvation, healing, mental, sickness, whatever. So anyway, I just kind of thought maybe it's just me. But just lately, people have been saying things and we've been really encouraged. And anyway, then Dave came up with his...
Dave came up with his thing. That's what she was going to say, his thing, you know. Hallelujah. So, an Emmaus Road awakening. Before I start, who's ready to give unto the Lord this morning? We're going to take up our tithes and offerings as part of our worship before the Lord. I didn't actually. Kenny was waving it at me. Like, I didn't remember at all. Hallelujah. God bless you as you give this morning. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. We ask you, my God. Lord, we take nothing for granted. We need your Holy Spirit to bring the revelation, the light, the illumination into our lives this morning. Prepare your people in this hour like never before. Give us an ear to hear what your Spirit truly is saying. Father, give us the heart to receive it. May your seed fall on good ground this morning, that it would bring forth fruit unto righteousness for the glory of your kingdom. We're saying, Father, change me, mold me, shape me according to the pattern in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 24. Book of Luke, chapter 24. I have got it up there. I think I sent it. I know I sent it. Luke 24, verse 13 to 35, it says this. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. This was after the death of Jesus. Jesus had left a commandment for them to stay in Jerusalem till they were empowered or endued with power from on high. Remember that? But these two, for some reason, got discouraged. And they left.
to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went to them. They were walking away from their purpose. They were walking away from what God had required of them. They were walking away from the mandate that God had put upon them. For some unknown reason, maybe discouragement, disappointment, or it didn't work out the way they think it should have worked out. And Jesus intervened on their Emmaus road. I want to declare and prophesy this morning, God is about to disturb people's Emmaus roads experience. The backslider, the prodigal, the one that's once heard and walked away, he's going to meet with you. He's going to meet with them because they've walked away from their purpose and their destiny in their God. And he will meet with them. Amen. Who believes that this morning? We're coming into a time, I believe, that there's been sowing and we've been praying. Well, I have anyway, and I believe a lot of people here have, every night for the last 9 months. Every night. And I believe God has said to me, he's heard our prayers, and it's now time to reap. And we're going to see that reaping of we've been lifting up these people before the Lord. That prodigal, that wayward living person, that one that's not walking right with God, that one that's just taken a complacent lifestyle with God. God's going to meet them at their Emmaus road. Whatever the reason that is. We didn't get told the reason that they were walking away. But everyone usually when they walk away has a reason. Most of the time it's disappointment with other people. Most of the time they think God has let them down. Has anyone ever heard that? God has let me down. Well, I want to just quickly reiterate something here and solidify something. People let you down. You might feel let down because it hasn't worked out the way you think it should work out. Or you might feel disappointed because it hasn't happened in the time frame you expected him to do it. But don't ever say that God's failed, because God doesn't fail. It's impossible for God to fail. Amen. He might delay something, but he'll never deny it. So our disappointment is sometimes because of people. And here's another thing we need to be very aware of and hopefully be able to share with those who are no longer walking with him or in that place with him is God never hurt you. God doesn't hurt you. People do. Or you're self-inflicted. But most of the time, it's people. Ever had a run-in with some people? You know, that's why God says that they're wonderfully and uniquely made. Only he can work them out. It's the truth. Only God can work out people. Amen? Can I hear an amen, please? I don't want to feel abandoned up here all by myself. Amen. Only people. People are people. People are unique. They're different. They don't think like you do. What you call common sense might not be common to them. It might not be true. They might not understand the way you think. And you should not get frustrated with people. Amen? Just think, you might be frustrating them. You might be thinking, hey, why do they think like that? I don't understand what they're saying. All that stuff. Everyone in life, everyone, I don't care who they are, they have issues. Everyone's got a problem. Everyone's working out something. Because if you haven't, you are perfect. And I'm looking across here and I don't see no one perfect, including me. No one. We're all a mess being made well. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Glory. Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, what is this conversation? What are you holding with each other as you walk? First thing he challenges on this Emmaus Road awakening is, what is coming out of your mouth? What are you talking about? Are you talking about the hopeless situation? Jesus didn't do it. I thought Jesus was the Messiah. I thought he was going to destroy them Romans and pull them down. I thought we were going to be free. I thought this. And you can keep on thinking, but most of the time you're thinking, you thought wrong. And my old man used to say that to me. Stop thinking too much. You think wrong. Just let it be. Hallelujah. What's this conversation that you were holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still. They stood still, looking sad. So their conversation had changed their atmosphere, had changed the way they were actually looking. Isn't it amazing when you get around people that have sooks and sad faces? When you hang around someone that is negative, constantly negative, they're so negative they could develop in a dark room. They're negative, just negative. And all of a sudden you start talking negative and you start thinking negative. You've got to shake that stuff off. You've got to start saying, hey, 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 no. No, 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 no. My God is more than, he's a can-do. He's a can-do God. He's a can-do God. You've got to start lifting up and encouraging yourself in the faith. Amen? And one of them is named Cleopas. Answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? Are you the... In other words, he was starting to change the conversation. In other words, he's saying, who do you think you are telling me why I'm sad? I want to tell you what, you don't know nothing. You don't even know what's happening. He doesn't know it's Jesus. Doesn't know it's Jesus. His eyes are still closed. Isn't it amazing we can blame Jesus for a lot of things? We could turn it around and say, but if you had, just like Mary, if you were willing, he'd still be alive today. I'm willing. And he said to them, what things? Now, does God know everything? Does God know everything? So he wanted them to question themselves. What things? And they said to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. They didn't call him Messiah. They still seen him as prophet. They still saw him as mighty in word and in deed, prophet. They thought he was the answer to their national problems. They didn't see him as Messiah. And how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. In other words, we've waited long enough. I've waited in Jerusalem for 3 days. I'm on my journey. I'm going to go back to what I know. When most people that, and I'm talking from experience now because I backslid for 3 years. When most backsliders backslide, it's because they don't see God move in the time frame they think he should. And they get disappointed. And then the enemy comes with lies and accusations and starts blaming things. And then you start not blaming people. You start blaming God. Well, if God's God, God's really God, he would be able to do this. If God's really God, he'd love them. If God's really God, he wouldn't allow them to die. If God's really God. And the world, that's one of the world's greatest sayings. If God is God, why does he allow this to happen? Now, they're talking about a God, but they never talk about a devil. You never hear an unsaved person says, why did the devil allow that to happen? No, 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 they don't say that. They say this, why did God allow that to happen? Moreover, some women of our company, what's that? And now this is the third day since it's happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were in the tomb early in the morning, and when they had not found his body, they came back saying they had not seen it in a video. They had, what's that? Let me read. I once was blind, but now I can see. And they were in the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that They had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not find, or did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets had spoken. One word that will sum what Jesus said. Remember. Remember. Next, please. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer the things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly. He acted like he was going to go even further on. He spent most of the afternoon sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, making them remember what the scriptures had said, taking them away from their scenarios of disappointment, pain, whatever the thing was that took them away from their Jerusalem. And he started speaking life into them. He started speaking hope into them. I'm telling you now, the prodigal sons and daughters in this world need to have life spoken into them, hope spoken back into them, and getting them away from blaming God to say people are just people and things happen to people. Good, bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to good people. Things happen. Amen? And it's not what happens should be the issue. It's how I respond to what has happened. Amen? But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. Write this word down. Communion changes the heart of man. Communion changes the heart of man. So when he went to stay with them, when he was at the table with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes, the Bible says, were opened. Amen. And they saw him. Then they said this, while he was with us, did not our heart burn within us when he spoke the word? The word will ignite the passion of one's heart. Hear me. The word alone will ignite the passion of one's heart. But communion changes a man forever. Communion reveals him. Can I have an amen? Amen. So we should be students of the word. But you better take time to wait upon him and have communion with him to get to know him. Amen? There's a warning to those who do not want to know him. Depart from me, for I never knew you. Didn't say they didn't know the word. They didn't commune with him. Because communion with him changes a man forever. One of my greatest prayers for my children were this. Father, I want them to know you. I don't want them just to know about you. I want them to encounter their God. Because I know an encounter will change them forever. Amen. And this communion is what it's about. When you remember on the goodness of your God when you're communing with him. And you can take your bread and wine every day if you want. But when you have communion with him, fellowship with him one-on-one, there is an intimate transfer. There is an intimate happening in the spirit where you're getting to know the mindset of God. I can know about him. I can be a great student and philosopher of the word. And that is, don't get me wrong, that's a good thing to read your Bible. You need to read your Bible. But you need to balance it with knowing him, fellowship with him, communion with him, that you might get to know the mindset of your God. Because when trouble comes, I'm going to say that again, when trouble comes, not if, when trouble comes. And you're in a place being alone. Anyone ever felt alone sometimes? You can feel alone in a marriage. When you're feeling alone, there's one person that you can turn to. And if you're in communion with him, there's been a trust built, there's been a fellowship built, there's been a hope built, and there's been something deposited in you that you know that you know that you know. He's the God of gods, the King of kings, the great I am, and he's my way maker. That's your rest. That's your peace. Philippians 3 and 10 says this about Paul. This one thing I do, forgetting the former things, that I may know him. He didn't say he already knew him. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his. If you don't know him, you'll run away from the fellowship of suffering. Because you don't think that's Jesus. You'll think that's a devil. You've got to know him. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, do not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened up to us the scriptures. And they arose that same hour and returned to what? When they met him, when their eyes were opened in communion with him, it will empower you and encourage you and give you the faith to go back to where you should be. They were never meant to leave Jerusalem. But when you meet him, you will be able to face your Jerusalem again. Amen. You will be able to face your mountain again. And you'll be able to overcome your mountain. Hallelujah. You'll be able to fulfill the call and the work of God upon your life. Because God has something for you. Who believes that? God has something for you. Saying the Lord has risen in the dead and appeared to Simon. They told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. I really believe the church has been sowing and God is going to answer the prayers of the church. I haven't told my wife this, but God's already given me the interpretation of the dream. I do get interpretations. Four people coming in. It's seasons. Four speaks of seasons. So no matter what season, there's going to be fruitfulness. My Bible says, and I think it's in Psalms, it says that we'll be trees of righteousness planted by the Lord. And it says, and their trees, their leaves shall be like a what? What's their leaves like? Like a medicine. Their leaves shall be like a medicine. Hello, trees of righteousness planted by the Lord. That's what you are. And your leaves shall be unto others as a medicine. Bearing fruit in season and for seasons. Why did they come through the back door? Because they left by the back door. These are the backsliders. These are the prodigals. These are the ones that slipped past through the back door. These are the ones that thought no one cared, no one loved them. These are the ones that felt rejected, disappointed, hurt. And only God can draw them back. That's why there's no one preaching in the vision. It's not by man. It's going to be by the work and the power of God himself. And he's going to get no names. No name people. Hallelujah. Because when they come to the altar, they're coming to the altar because they're drawn by the Spirit of God. Before the great coming day of the Lord, he said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all. Who believes that? Who believes that one of the greatest ingatherings will be from the prodigal sons and daughters? Again, on fire for the things of God. Again, that deposit, that seed that's been sown day, weekly, monthly, whatever, that God has deposited within him because his word will not return what? All of a sudden, he'll waken it. He'll meet them on their Emmaus road. He'll meet them from where they left to bring them back. He will meet them. The Holy Ghost himself will meet with them. Amen. Whether by dream, by vision, by whatever, he will meet with them and he'll call them back. And all of a sudden, all them excuses, all that weight of disappointment, all that stuff that they can use, and all that rejection and sometimes unforgiveness will dissipate because they get to the altar and forgiveness will flow from him, from the throne to them. And all of a sudden, the hardened heart will melt like wax. I believe that. I believe we're coming to the age of that. I believe the church is going to see that. I believe there's going to be a restoration of souls. Can you believe with me this morning? The heart of God is not to have great meetings. The heart of God is not to have the glitter and the smoke machines and stuff happening and laying out on the floor, Shunran and Hyundai and Hyundai, Suzuki, Mitsubishi. Yeah, that's all nice. His heart is for souls. His heart is for the lost. His heart is for the broken. His heart is for the bruised. His heart is to restore his children back. He came and he died for them. Well, we have got to be ready. Hear me. Now I'm doing off the cuff stuff now, so listen to me. We better be ready. Because the first thing they had to encounter was what's coming out of your mouth. We have to start making them focus not on the problem, but on the problem solver. Amen. Then the next thing he challenged them with, he spoke the word, and that word, that constant word, that washing of that word over their life over that afternoon, something started to spark in their spirit. Something started to spark in their heart, and all of a sudden, their candle was lit again. Their candle was lit again. Did not our hearts burn within us when he shared that word? Is there a word in you this morning that can ignite the heart of a man and a woman around you? I'm not talking about proving the seven steps to salvation, the six steps to the anoint. That is not the way. I'm talking about the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he loves them, he's forgiven them, he's got mercy for them, there's grace abounding toward them. All that other stuff we can add to. Get them saved. Let the Holy Ghost be the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, he challenges them, walks with them, and he would have went on. And here's the dilemma. I'm bent towards reading my Bible. Everyone has a bent. I'm bent towards reading. I love reading my Bible. I used to struggle in prayer. I did. You know, my wife can pray for half an hour. I'll pray for a minute. And I've said everything she said. She's just expounded a lot more. I'll just get to the point. And I'm not saying she's wrong. That's how she prays. Now I'm saying to my wife, let's pray. Now I'm trying to get in. And I say, can I have a turn? Please, let me have a turn. So then I have a little turn, and then all of a sudden, she's in. Then there's this. And I'm saying, God, this is what it's about. Communion, fellowship, unity, oneness. Lifting up the same thing before the Lord, because out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be what? Established. Out of the mouth of two or three. Here's the two. Lord, we're going to confess your word and believe your word. We're going to pray what we need to pray, and we're going to see the change. We're going to see the change. Amen. I really believe God is activating the prayers of the saints now. We've sown and we've sown and we've sown. 9 months, every night we've sown. And guess what? He's going to do it. He's going to do it. No one's going to receive glory. It's not going to be a West Point City Church thing. God is going to do it. God is going to do it. God is going to draw in. God is going to use people with a word in their mouth to ignite the flame and passion again in people's hearts. He's going to make them speak truth, and the truth will make them free. He's going to make them speak truth and love. We're not going to be there dictating to them that they have to do this and they have to believe that. We're going to speak truth and love. And the love of God, which covers all sin, will allow the word to be received in grace. Do you believe that this morning? Hallelujah. In Malachi chapter 4, he says this, verse 4 to 6. So I'll return the hearts of the fathers to the children, the children's hearts to the fathers. The last thing he said in the Old Testament was reconciliation. That's the last thing he said. Reconciliation. But before the hearts of the fathers turn to the children, the children's hearts turn to the fathers, the verse above it says this, and they shall remember. Before their hearts can even get to a place to receive, they've got to come into the remembrance of the goodness of God. So there has to be a word within me that brings to remembrance the goodness of God, not their problem. I can't fix their problem. He can. What I've got to do is tell them about the goodness of God. Remind them what God has done in their life. Remind them that they've still got breath, because if they weren't needed, they'd be gone. Remind them that God still has a purpose and a plan developed for their life. And what the devil wants to rob is what? Your years. Book of Joel, 2:25. I'll restore back the years that the grasshopper, the cankerworm, the palmer worm, and the locust has eaten. The devil robs you of your years. Here's another thing about years. I'm going to finish on this. Too many Christians think they have more than enough time. Well, you know, I'm only 25. You know, I've got a long time to go. I'll get more serious when I get older. I'm going to switch this now. You know your birthday, don't you? Everyone knows their birthday. If you don't, we'll pray for you. Everyone knows their birthday. But there's one thing even Christians don't know. Their death day. So if you were meant to leave when you're 50 and you're 40, you're already old. If you're 40 and your death day is at 90, you're young. But if you're 60 and your death day is 65, you're very old. Don't wait, look how young you are. We've got to get ready today. Come on now. We've got to be ready today. Now is the day. Now is the accepted time. We've got to be living for Him like He's coming tomorrow. Amen? We don't know. No one knows. The Father knows. I've got to remember the goodness of my God. And then, just like at that meeting we were having at the coffee, when they begin to hear the goodness of God, they have an ear to hear. When I was a young man working at Australia Post spent, I would probably estimate now, I mean then, over $100,000 on me, training me. Well over $100,000. Training me to have a critical eye about machinery, about how things worked. I didn't care what was working. I wanted to know what wasn't working. So that over 3 years of schooling, being released daily, them paying for it, learning how to have a critical eye. And when I left that and came into the kingdom, it was easy for me to have a critical eye. So I didn't see how good you might be. I could quickly, very quickly, find the fault. Oh yeah, she says. Oh yeah, she says. Oh yeah. And it's not hard to be critical. Do you know the greatest struggle? To love. To love them. Where you can love them when they disappoint you. Where you can love them when they're vicious toward you. Where you can love them when they're unforgiving toward you. Love. Love conquers all. Faith, hope, and the greatest of these is greater than mountain-moving faith. Greater than all the dreams and hopes you could ever expect. Love. Because love will involve you to pay a price. I'll define love. A risk. It's a risk. Because what you're prepared to do is say, I'm going to believe the best in you. I'm not going to listen to the negative. I'm not going to listen to what other people have said about you. I'm going to believe the best in you. 1 Corinthians 13, love hopes all things. Love believes, how many things?
Things.
Some things?
Things?
All things. Love endures all things. Love. So when these people come, start, and they will come, start walking, they don't need to be told where they've gone wrong. They need to be challenged what's coming out of their mouth. But they don't need to be told where they've gone wrong. They know. What they need is people, Christians, that will love them. Amen? Shall we stand? No. God is looking for some trumpets in the house. That will make a certain sound. A word in their mouth, love in their hearts, desiring to commune with those that need communion. I don't know about you, but I believe we're living in an hour where he needs his church to be full of lovers of the truth and of him. And he wants to use you. He wants you to use you on someone's Emmaus road to waken them up. Amen. If that's you this morning, you say, Lord, here I am, use me. Here I am, use me. Now, I've been talking about love this morning. But the epistle of John, the little Johns, says this. Love your neighbor as you love your... If you do not love yourself, you can't love. I want you to ask yourself that question this morning. Do you love yourself? I'm not talking about being narcissist. I'm talking about accepting you in front of Jesus Christ. Do you love yourself? And out of that reservoir, that love will flow. Romans 5 and 5 says, for the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. It's there. You just got to release it. So Father, this morning, we lift up our hands and we say, Father, here we are, use me. Use me as your instrument this morning. Father, we believe the vision that, Father, you're going to draw in from every season of life. You're going to draw them in. The broken, the bruised, the lame, the blind, the cripple. In the name of Jesus Christ. They left from the back door, but Father, you're going to draw them through the same door so they can face their issues. We ask you in the name of Jesus, equip us, empower us in this day to be that instrument of your word, of the truth, of your life, that these people can be delivered, set free and healed and accepted in the beloved in Jesus' name. And if that's you this morning, you say to your Lord, amen. Let it be so. Do you love him? Get ready. I'm not just talking about for this church. I'm talking about for the body in general. Get ready. Amen. He's going to do it. Let's pray for the food. You've just had some spiritual food. You're probably not hungry. Just leave it for me. That's fine. Father, we just ask you to bless the food that's set before us. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. That we can commune with one another and commune with you. God, we say, change us, mold us, shape us. Bless the food to our body. Turn all fat to fiber in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.